exciting performance next Sunday at the same time here on Radio 3. Until then, I'll bid you good night.
Ian Skelly presented Radio 3 in concert this evening. Tomorrow night, we have a programme from Wells in Somerset, an all-Messiaen concert, including his quartet for the end of time, the regular time of 7:30.
Chorus, orchestra, soloists, nearly twice the length of his other symphonies, Mendelssohn's Lobgesang, Song of Praise, was his most ambitious symphonic work. Next Thursday, the London Symphony Orchestra and conductor John Elliott Gardner conclude their acclaimed Mendelssohn Symphony cycle with the monumental second, alongside the composer's vibrant violin concerto performed by Alina Ibrahimova. Join me, Sarah Moore-Peach, for an evening of Mendelssohn, next Thursday at 7:30, live on BBC Radio 3.
It's Sunday night, it's now 9 o'clock, and time for this week's Drama on Three, Vampire Man. Dara Kelly, Anton Lesser and Amanda Redman star in Joseph O'Connor's drama about the close friendship between Bram Stoker and Henry Irving, the most famous Shakespearean actor of his day, and the inspiration for a certain Transylvanian count.
The tale I'm about to tell is only loosely based on fact. Vampires may not exist. My name is Stoker. You won't know me. Abraham Stoker. It's New Year's Eve in London. I'm alone in the house. My wife went to Ireland, and the sea storm prevents her return. The century is dying, and somehow he feels close. All I have to say of him, I can tell in one night. Come with me, if you will, to a playhouse in Dublin. It was 1876. I was still in my 20s, writing reviews of the theatre and never getting paid. There he was, in heavy makeup, on stage, in full flow, rivulets of sweat on his face as he prowled. Ladies and gentlemen, Henry Irving.
'Tis now the very witching time of night, when churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Now could I drink hot blood and do such bitter business as the day would quake to look on.
I waited in the rain, amid throngs of admirers. I see him still, being hurried from the stage door like a boxer from the ring. I hastened to the night editor's office.
My review. Irving, in Hamlet, tonight.
Oh, I don't know, Stoker. He's only a bloody showman, not an actor.
I believe him to be a genius.
Well, you turn a nice phrase. You ever think of doing this writing lark full time?
Since you're not in a position to pay me, I could hardly afford to.
The Queen pays you better, I grant you that. But slaving all day with a lot of clerks in Dublin Castle. Hardly the stuff of dreams, my boy.
And perhaps the editor was right. My job was hateful. Opening and answering official letters all day. But that morning came an invitation that changed my life. Addressed to Stoker, drama critic, personal. The hotel corridor was gloomy. I came to a door. From somewhere, the sound of a woman's low laugh. Only then did I notice the door was slightly ajar. Heart thundering, I opened it, but remained in the doorway. Without looking, he spoke to me.
Come closer.
Seated on a chaise longue, Irving awaited. Pale, in full evening suit. Black candles about the room.
You are in shadow.
Sir?
My eyesight is poor.
And he rose, took a candle, raised the flame towards my face.
Mr. Stoker, I believe. The wizard of kind words.
I have taken the liberty of bringing you some of my ghost stories. They've been published in little magazines. Tales of the Imagination.
A theatre critic with imagination? You don't find that gets in the way? Like a pianist having three hands and not knowing what to do with any of them. I cannot invite you in. Old superstition among my sect. You must choose to step into the scene or to remain in the wings. Come now, I don't bite.
Next evening, I had an appointment to see my fiancée, Florence. We walked the Zoological Gardens.
He what?
He asked me to come to London.
On holiday, do you mean?
As his secretary. At his new playhouse. It's to be called the Lyceum. It's the most wonderful endeavour. He means to make theatre respectable. At last.
But I... You hardly know the man.
I feel I've known him all my life.
After meeting him once. So briefly.
When I see him on the stage... I somehow feel I know him. Everyone does, Florence. It's his greatness.
I think you're in love with him.
It's hard to explain.
You have a life here in Dublin. A steady job, a position, everything laid out before you. Why would you go away?
London is my dream. I feel the chance won't come again.
I had hoped, in a while, that we might be married.
And not long after our marriage, we travelled to London, happy enough. March 1878. We arrived at the theatre to a scene of utter chaos. The auditorium, a forest of poles and platforms, carpenters, scene painters, upholsterers installing seats.
Excuse me. I say, my name is Stoker, from Dublin. I am to be Mr. Irving's secretary.
E-5-0-fum, I smell the blood of an Irish bram. Embrace me. The fresh aroma of the immigrant. Who is this pretty thing? You're here to apply as a hat girl, dear. See Mrs. Riley with your references.
Mr. Irving.
Henry, always Henry. Bad luck to call me Irving. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Henry, may I present to you my wife, Florence.
Your wife? Forgive me, dear. I didn't know Bram was taken. And what a handsome couple you make, to be sure, to be sure. Such big eyes you have, as a wolf once said. I should have wept at your wedding, had only I been invited. We shall be great friends, you and I, practically sisters. You care for the theatre?
I care for my husband and what gives him pleasure and happiness.
Oh, a saint, not a wife. May I show you around the old ruin? The building, I mean, not myself.
I have seen the stage already.
Oh, the stage is merely the face, the eyes of the body. We need to familiarise with the innards, as it were. Come to backstage. Chop, chop. We're not at our best just yet, as you see, but one rather likes the corruption. Purity is so dull. A young dog like you won't know Wills's play Van der Decken.
I saw you play it twice in Dublin.
Ah, the moment in the last act. When the ghost answers Tekla's question.
Where are we?
Between the living and the dead.
You see... The hero's dead, dear.
What a queer idea for a play.
One thinks of it always backstage in a theatre, for we too are neither living nor dead. A thought one finds strangely consoling. Offices up the stairs. Dressing rooms to the left. Paint room, prop room, gas room, carpentry. It's a delicious old maze, but you'll soon work it out. A manager must know his theatre. I rather hoped you'd accept the position.
I... couldn't manage a theatre.
Then let it manage you.
But I've absolutely no experience of anything like that.
You fear new experiences. Well, how can you be a writer?
Mr. Irving, that door at the end of the corridor, where does it lead?
Best not to use it, dear. They say it's haunted.
By whom?
By a pretty little Irish girl who asked too many questions. Come in here instead. After you. Isn't it wonderful?
The rottenness. I call it my lair. This, my dears, is the beefsteak room. Where in the old days the beauties of society London were, what is the word? Entertained.
It's a little shabby.
Do you feel them? Be still. They're always here, I sense them. If these walls could talk, eh? Such seductions, such debauches. Many a virgin was ruined in this room. We'll make it glorious again, you and me, Bramsey. We'll have London gorging out of our hand. The Lyceum shall be our love child.
Bram.
When is your first show?
6 weeks tonight.
I say, be serious.
I am never anything less.
You can't open in 6 weeks. Or even 6 months. There's no cloakroom, no box office. There are holes in the room.
Give the audience umbrellas.
But I know nothing about the place. How many seats do you have?
Oh, how should I know? You disappoint me, Bram. Such littleness in a big bear like yourself.
I need to study the company's principal assets and capital.
You're looking at it.
I meant the accounts, the books.
Oh, here they are. Cheerless reading, I'm afraid. Like a play by Bernard Shaw. The keys of the safe. Your office is behind the stage.
But a theatre this size would require 150 employees. We'd need to discuss...
I go! Look how I go! Swifter than arrow from the Tartar's bow! Farewell.
I might...
Hmm?
Go to bed now.
Yes?
I thought...
These accounts are horrendous. I've never seen the like. He appears to have borrowed from one bank in order to pay the rent and borrowed from three more using the loan as collateral. And the costumes, the carpentry, the upholsterers, the curtains.
Come to bed, Bram.
In a while.
But Bram, my love.
Be patient with me, Florence. Run along. Enjoy your rest. Yes. Poor, dear Florence. Instead of counting my blessings, I counted seats.
438, 439, 400... Mr. Stoker? Oh, no. Damn you. 429.
Mr. Stoker?
Yes?
My name's Harker. I wrote to you about a position as a master scene painter.
Pardon?
You asked me to come in for a talk.
What?
Would you like to see my portfolio?
Can you count, Mr. Harker?
I think so, yeah.
Count every seat in this theatre. Consider yourself employed.
Mr. Stoker, Mr. Irving says I'll have to speak to you about the costumes.
I was here first. We have no violinists.
Yeah, the windows in the dressing rooms is broken. The widget lights.
One at a time. Let us not be unruly. If you have a grievance, please approach me one by one and let me know of it calmly. Nothing can be accomplished if we shout one another down. Here is my hat.
You will put it on your head. Only the person hatted has permission to speak. All other members of the company will listen in respectful silence. Now, let us go to rehearsal.
You are playing the King of Denmark's ghost, not a drunken chimney sweep. Again.
My hour is almost come.
Oh, dear.
When I to sulfurous and tormenting flames must render up myself.
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me, Lord, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Well, unfold, for the love of God. What are you waiting for, a bloody telegram?
Mr. Irving, sir, I am sorry. If I could have a short break...
5 minutes, you donkey. Go and have a feed of oats. Come back here without knowing your lines and I will slice out your heart. Go!
A word.
About what?
Your wife has written. to say her family would like to have tickets.
Give them.
I notice she's called Florence. Like my own wife.
What of it?
Nothing, of course. Merely a coincidence.
We are estranged, if you wondered. Was there anything else?
We need more carpenters.
Then hire them.
We don't have the ready funds.
Must you bother me always with such petty vulgarities? Can't you see I'm busy here? Must you all drain me dry?
But
we open in a week and the scenery isn't even painted. Am I required to do everything myself?
A word of encouragement to Harker and the men would go across well.
I pay their wages, don't I? I ain't their mother, dear. They may suck somewhere else for their milk.
If you could have seen us. The chaos. The sweat. We opened with Hamlet. Nothing if not ambitious. 10 minutes before we opened, we were still sewing costumes. And I, too, found myself in a role. Sergeant Major Stoker. Ridiculous.
Stalls left!
Ready, Mr. Stoker, sir!
Stalls right!
Ready!
Grand circle!
Ready, sir!
Upper circle!
Ready, Mr. Stoker!
Boxes left!
Aye, sir!
Boxes right!
Yes, Mr. Stoker!
7:30, gentlemen! Curtain in 32 minutes precisely. Thank you. You may open the doors.
Sir, the governor asked if you could come to his dressing room immediately.
Henry, you're pale. What's the matter?
We're not ready. Call it off.
The house is full to the gunnels. They love you. Can you hear them?
Give them back their money. You can say I'm unwell. Please, don't mention my weakness to the company, that's all. Couldn't bear them knowing their governor is a coward.
But what is there to fear? You can trust me.
You won't mock me if I say.
How on earth would I mock you?
You know, my eyesight is bad. Well, it's worse than I said. I can barely see my reflection if I look in the glass.
But why does it matter?
On the stage, I look out and see the darkness. Only that. It's been with me since childhood, afraid of the monsters.
Henry.
As a boy, I used to stammer. The masters would beat me, sometimes. Irrational thing. I think they're waiting in the darkness, willing me to fail, so everyone will forget me. Jumped up little salesman's son that'll never amount to anything. That's what my demons say.
We all have our demons.
No, you don't seem to have any.
My father and mother left me when I needed them most. Emigrated to Europe. I was alone as a boy.
I don't have your courage.
I've no courage at all. I'm a dull clerk from Dublin. Nothing more.
No, you have a core in your heart. You know what I have in mine? Nothing.
How can you say it?
Nights I have sailed, Bram, into myself. Through storms you couldn't imagine. Evil apparitions. If you could see the thoughts in my head, you would murder me out of pity.
Go out to the stage. Fight back the demons. If the fears come, stand up, say the lines just to me.
No, I can't.
Look over in my direction and only say the words. Screw your courage to the sticking place. It's your destiny. It's waiting. The men and women working yonder, they've given all they have.
Do you love me? And give me your arm and stay a moment. I'll speak a word with my angel.
Your angel?
The most beautiful of all. The god of the artist. Erebusquet sonatus. Erebusquent ordines omnes. Ipsa illae pudoris sui interim tricis. Digestibus suis ad lucem et populum. Expavescente semel anno. Death or glory. To be or not
to be? That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
Can't hear you, mate!
To die? To sleep? No more? No more?
Yes, stuttering fool, am I?
And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to is a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep, perchance, to dream, aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare button? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveller returns, puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of? Thus conscience does make cowards of us all.
The party in the beefsteak room was riotous that night. But I had things on my mind.
I must leave. Florence will be waiting.
You're not permitted to leave. If you do, I shall curse you. You don't believe in curses?
I believe in science.
Ah, science. The religion of bloodless fools who fear truth. Read your Darwin, my friend. Even a fool is sometimes right. There was a time in earthly history when the apes could not speak. Then some found the power, while others disbelieved.
And
so, in every generation, a small brotherhood possessed powers that the rest of the apes don't believe in.
I find the notion fanciful.
Find it what you will. Three times in my life, I have wished an enemy harm. Each of them died in agony within the month. Never cross me, Bram. I give you fair warning. The party is only beginning. As I said, I can never go to sleep until dawn.
Unsteadily, at dawn, I made my way home. In my hand, the morning editions. Magnificent opening of Irving's Lyceum Theatre. Triumph for Irving. He rises again.
Bram?
Yes?
I was concerned at 6 in the morning.
Oh, we had a little celebration after the show. It rather ran on.
Everything went as you hoped?
Oh, one or two little hiccups, only to be expected with so little time for preparation.
You didn't get my note? I sent a boy with it last night.
Oh, things were so busy, you see. I didn't open it, but thank you.
For what?
Well, I assume it was for luck. It was thoughtful of you.
Bram, I sent for the doctor last evening.
My love, what was wrong?
I thought I was expecting a baby.
But dear, that's wonderful.
It turns out I wasn't.
Dearest love.
Oh, Rob.
There. Mustn't we? Oh.
It was almost noon when I came back to the theatre. It was locked and shuttered. I opened the chains and went inside.
I say, who is that on the stage? Henry? Is that you?
Did you see him?
Who?
Over there. In the balcony.
I saw nothing.
Come to my office. Close the curtains.
But it's a beautiful morning.
I said close them! Now! You deaf as well as ignorant, you lumbering bloody oaf, obey me.
I felt you might wish to go through the correspondence. There is a letter of congratulation from Tennyson, a note from Oscar Wilde, another from Dickens. Requests for interviews from the Times and the Illustrated News. How should I reply?
Nothing from the palace. I thought the Queen might have written.
The Queen?
One would think she would want to encourage excellence, vulgar German trollop.
You were happy with the evening?
You ask Christ if he was happy with the crucifixion. I'll never forget the shame. I've seen a better play done by drunken beggars in the street.
There were naturally first-night nerves, but the audience was delighted. You didn't see the notices this morning?
Nothing scalds me like the praise of a fool.
A masterpiece performance.
Burn it.
For heaven's sake.
Don't talk to me of heaven when you have put me in hell. You and the other mediocrities who stay in this place by their presence.
The company's performance, in my view, was of a high level.
You are not in Ireland now. I do not accept your grubby standards. It must be perfect. Every night, nothing less.
That is a noble aspiration.
It is not an aspiration. It is how it shall be. Anyone who doesn't wish to join me, there is the door. Only I shall have my pound of flesh before he goes.
Where does this malice and fury come from?
You dare to question Irving? No, it is you that shall answer. I see this rag contains a so-called story under your name.
What of it?
You are employed to assist me. Not to write stories. I am entitled to every shred of your attention. You did not give it. You betrayed me.
I write a little in my spare time. I didn't think you'd object.
Get out before I harm you. Oversee the rehearsal.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain?
When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
That will be ere the set of sun.
Where the place?
Upon the heath. There to meet with Macbeth.
There is foul and fair. Hover through the fog and filthy air.
Mr. Stoker, what is it? We need a place to store scenery.
I thought the cellars.
I'm begging your pardon, Mr. Stoker, sir, but the stagehands won't venture down there.
Why not?
Because of Mina, sir.
Who is Mina?
A girl who was murdered there in the old days. The hands believe she haunts the cellars. Bad luck to disturb her.
Superstitious bloody nonsense. Mr. Harker, give me the keys.
A rickety descending staircase. I felt I was being watched as I wandered those dark cellars. By candlelight, strange music from the stage far above me. I felt safe in the underground world. The drip of ancient pipes, the clank of my keys, my breath turning to steam, a room flooded with stagnant water, an overturned armchair gnawed by a rat, a gown hanging in a doorway, boxes of wigs, the tinkle of rusted bells, the eerie frame of a broken harp. In an alcove, three coffins.
He is young and strong. There are kisses for us all.
Back to your own place. It is not yet time. This man belongs to me. Your doom will not come unless you desire it. Bram! Wake up!
Where am I?
In your office.
What?
Be calm.
Oh, dearest
God, what a dream. How long was I asleep?
A guilty conscience, my Irish friend.
Huh?
It makes a coward of us all.
Ten years went by. I published a book, The Snake's Pass. The public could scarcely contain its indifference. On the ferry to work every morning, I gazed at the Thames, grey as a gull, dead as my hopes. And then came a year all Londoners will remember with horror, when murder stalked the midnights.
£22.03 £22.03 and
make
eight.
A cracking play.
What would?
The Ripper. We'd pack the bloody house every night.
I'm not sure one can buy the performance rights of multiple murder.
People will have to be disgusted. Human nature, you see. Fear is money, my friend. As Shakespeare knew.
I do not see that Shakespeare has anything to do with it.
It's got everything to do with it. Look at the plays. Poisonings, suicides, mothers eating their children. Oh. Makes the Ripper seem a naughty schoolboy piddling in the vicar's porridge.
And trying to count the takings.
Pity and terror, Bramsey. That's what the Greeks said, the secret of drama. They knew a thing or two.
The sordid depravities of the world are no subject for art.
Oh, you breathtaking hypocrite. You are drawn to filth and horror like a worm to shit. Go on home to your little Florence where you do your suburban duty, but you always suspect there's more, don't you, my love? Here is your so-called book, The Snake's Pass.
Give me that.
Excites you, don't it? To lift up the stone, see the maggots wriggle and gorge on the muck of your lust. You just don't have the language in which to express it. Must drive you insane with frustration. Stroke to nerve, have I, Bramsey?
If we can get back to business, I would greatly appreciate it. We are not presenting a drama based on Jack the Bloody Ripper.
The Ripper's not you, is it, Bramsey? Only you quiet types can be savage. You're much more sadistic than the extrovert.
Harker was still with us. We became not quite friends, but allies. And I recall the day we went together to the stores I'd found for the scenery. Under a shabby old railway bridge in a low part of town.
We need a night watchman, sir. It's a rough quarter, this. There's £70,000 worth of scenery there.
I've spoken to the railway company. They'll supply guardsmen as part of the rent.
Makes a good spacious store, sir. How'd you find it?
I walk London at night. Clears the head.
You don't want to be doing that, sir. With what's happening in the East End. One of the girls, they found her just over there. In Buck's Row. Oh, a cousin works at the mortuary. And he saw the girl's body. Said you wouldn't believe the things he'd done to her. Man's a monster, not a human. Queer to think we might walk past him any night on the street.
I want you to erect a notice for me, John. No woman of the company is to go home unaccompanied after dark. By order, Henry Irving.
Let's head back, sir. The storm's coming on.
Abram, may I present to you the salvation of the world? The greatest actress in England, my friend Ellen Terry.
Pleased to meet you.
I feel I know Mr. Stoker already.
I hardly think so, darling. Bram's the manager here. A damned fine one, too. Answers 50 letters a day for me. Devil with the pen.
Indeed.
Some good news, Bram. Miss Terry is joining the company.
You didn't tell me that.
The sun rose this morning and will be setting tonight. Perhaps I didn't tell you that either.
I feel I am interrupting a marital spat.
Not at all. We just do it to warm ourselves up.
Nevertheless, I must go. A great pleasure, Mr. Stoker. Oh, your new novel is in stock at Hatchard's, by the way. I said I'd spank the manager if it weren't. A dear, sweet prince.
Edible, ain't she?
She is the highest paid actress in England. How are we to afford her wages? We are already in dangerous debt.
You could always sell your body by the pound, not the hour, only you're getting a little chubby. Wifey feeding you up?
Levity will not run this theatre.
A little of it might help.
I am supposed to be the manager, to share in the decisions.
You seem more interested in writing these tiresome bloody books of yours that nobody wants.
That is unfair.
If you're telling me that having the greatest leading lady in the world is a mistake, I will be happy to cancel her contract, of course.
You are being disingenuous.
Who, dear? Me?
Next day, I was at a bookstall on the embankment, leafing through the old poetry. Wind blew leaves in my face, and I happened to glimpse away. There stood the most beautiful woman I had ever seen.
Good morning, Mr. Stoker.
Oh, Miss Terry.
Checking that they have you in stock.
It's my wife's birthday soon. I had in mind to get her a book of love poems.
What a beautiful gift. You are a romantic beneath that rather proper exterior, I think.
Don't know about that. But she appreciates poetry.
I should like to meet your wife. Does she come to the theatre?
No, she isn't a night owl. You're not wearing your veil.
They recognise me, you see. Some days it bothers me. Today, I don't seem to mind.
Are you going to the theatre now? Will you walk with me?
Yesterday, I had a ruckus with one of the costume girls. She wished to dress me in what appeared to be a pair of old curtains. Some of the language I used wasn't ladylike, I'm afraid. She accused me of being vain. Imagine, an actress vain.
A great artist is surely entitled to a moment of vanity.
Vanity makes women weak. Pride makes them strong. Experience has taught me the difference. You know of my perfectly scandalous life, I am sure.
I don't read the sort of papers that spread gossip and falsehood.
Oh, it's no falsehood, I'm afraid. I'm rather a fallen woman. Married at 17, my children have different fathers. I always think it better to get the information out in the open when I meet someone I like very much. So what's your secret, Mr. Stoker? A proper sort like you. So polite and so shy and so full of reserve. But then your writing's so boiling with wildness and rage.
Well, I was often sick as a boy. Till I was 7 years old, I never knew what it was to stand upright. My mother used to tell me stories, the old Irish folk tales. I found it thrilling to be frightened in safety.
Some of your work has kept me awake all night.
Me too.
I suppose you studied literature at the university in Dublin.
Oh, mathematics and science. For me, it was theatre that opened the door. To literature, I mean. Then it somehow never closed.
I think you are in love.
Oh, perhaps. It's a little unrequited.
How so?
Oh, I had hoped when I was younger that writing would be my gift, that I might have success with it. But many are called, few are chosen.
You are working on something new?
An idea is turning around. Came to me a while ago. Probably nothing.
May I ask your theme?
It's a story of a monstrous aristocrat in league with the devil. An evil man of ferocious arrogance. He sucks people dry.
Wonder where you found the inspiration for that. Yes. You blush when you speak of your work. Like a lover about his girl.
To tell a story to another, to touch another person, someone you never met, that hope, it moves me. And words themselves are so beautiful, just to play with them like music. I feel, when I write, as though I become a better man, stronger and better. Silly, really.
Not at all. Mr. Stoker, you are a mysterious fellow.
Oh, a most ordinary one, I assure you. Well, here we are at the theatre.
Ex-law! Ex-law! Horrible murder! A Another girl fired last night.
How terrible. A poor family.
Mr. Harker, there's something wrong. Who is this man and what is he doing on the stage?
My name is Adams, sir. I'm a detective with the Metropolitan Police. I wish to speak a word to Mr. Irving.
He's coming.
What is the meaning of this interruption?
It's about these murders, sir, in the East End. This play you're presenting at the moment, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, we'd like you to take it off, sir.
Why, sir?
We're dealing with a savage madman. That much will be obvious. We believe pieces such as the one you're presenting might set him off, as it were, or others might be inspired to copy him.
For heaven's sake, Detective, it's only a play.
Well, I've been advised to insist, sir.
By whom?
I'm not at liberty to say.
The police do not close theatres in a free society.
I'll thank you not to take that tone, Mr. Irving. I am not one of your minions to be bullied.
Dare you speak to Henry Irving like this? This theatre is its own kingdom, and I am its ruler.
Here is a file, sir, on your private life. Certain late-night companions. Shame it were to fall into the hands of the curious. The decision is yours.
We can do Othello tonight. What? I know Desdemona back to front.
Over my dead body.
Thank you, Detective. The Lyceum is happy to comply with your request.
I'll not play the part. I warn you, I won't.
Do shut up. Get rehearsing Othello.
Poor Henry. For Ellen was wonderful that night. The greatest Desdemona of them all. It was 2 a.m. when I showed her to her carriage, and I walked for a while through the streets. The silence was unearthly in those nights of the Ripper. Filthy darkness, or the glow of the gas lamps through fog. I had a little to drink, and soon I was lost. I made my way down to the river.
Oh, Mary, this London's a wonderful sight, with the people all working by day and by night.
Who's there?
Help! Please help me! For God's sake, someone help me!
Miss, just a moment! Help is coming! Just a moment! I am coming!
Hello, Marjorie. Oh, Jack.
His hands about my throat. I fought for my life. Suddenly, he released me.
So now you know all. I imagine you suspected. It's the evil in me, isn't it? That drew you like a flame. I can't help myself, Bram. I need to spill their blood to think of all London talking about me. It was too much to resist. Every killer is a performer. My greatest role.
I followed you, you idiot. When they told me you left the theatre, you don't think I'd let you be chopped and gobbled by Saucy Jack?
Unspeakable wretch!
Your face, dear God. Look at you.
You are a reprobate. I ought to blood you and throw you in and drown you. The voice. Who was the woman?
Help me, Brandy!
Bram? Bram, you're not leaving me here, are you?
Bram! Bram!
I've paid the wages, arranged the auditions, spoken to the manager of the bank, and there is a reporter from the Times outside.
Have him killed and fed to my dog. He ain't fussy what he eats.
The publicity would be useful in selling tickets.
Bugger your tickets. Let them come or not.
Without tickets being sold, there is no Lyceum Theatre.
It's always the same tedious questions. Blah, blah, blah. What do you think of Shakespeare? How do you put together a portrayal?
Well, how do you?
I look at the people around me and I steal. How else?
You steal?
There's a limp, my former schoolmaster, a squint, my uncle, a nice old man, Tennyson, a murderer, Shaw. Is it? To watch is meat and drink. People are food. Open that drawer. There, fetch my sketchbook. See? Their mannerisms, habits, things about their accent. How a character walks and holds himself is as important as his words. The way he lifts a glass. His laugh. His hands. Most of all, his stare. Get that. You get everything.
These drawings are so beautiful.
And one last thing. It's the secret of tragedy. There is something in every lover that wants to be rejected, and something in every villain that wants to be loved. All the evil in the world comes from shattered love. Forget that, and the audience won't believe you. These stories you write, that's why they don't work. Oh, you can scribble out a workable sentence, but a monkey could do that. That's just as well you've stopped. Too many ordinary writers already. You are never going to write anything lasting, my dear. Many are called, few are chosen. Now, to rehearsal. Oh, you there, lighting man. Shine the bloody light, idiot. It's me they'll want to see. Do your job, you festering tart. Now, blaze the blasted things and give it some red, for Christ's sake. He hath disgraced me, and hindered me, 500,000. Laughed at my losses, mocked at my gains, scorned my nation, thwarted my bargains, cooled my friends, heated mine enemies, and what's his reason? I am a Jew. Shine those bloody lights, or I will stick them up the highest rafters of your home. Hath not a Jew eyes? Hath not a Jew hands, organs, dimensions, senses, affections, passions, fed with the same food? Hurt with the same weapons, subject to the same diseases, healed by the same means, warmed and cooled by the same winter and summer as a Christian is. If you prick us, do we not bleed?
I was conscious of the presence, and of his being, as if lapped in a storm of fury, the eyes transformed, the fair cheeks blazing with fury.
Would you play for a moment with the baby?
Not at the moment, my dear.
For heaven's sake, Bram, he's hardly seen you in a week. Bram, may I speak with you? Must I throw that wretched machine out the window?
Is something wrong?
Another book.
What of it?
You don't feel we see little enough of you as it is. Out every night of the week, never home before dawn. 4 books to your name, and none of them successful. And now the writing of yet another one is to take up whatever minuscule shred of time you don't give to that man.
I thought I'd have a last go. One final attempt.
I'm going to sleep in the nursery from now on. You don't mind?
Of course. If you wish. What brought this on?
Wakes me up when you come home from the theatre at dawn and then you seem so restless. I thought it would be more convenient.
Please, don't be angry with me.
I'm not angry. A little afraid.
Of what?
Where do you go, Bram, when you remain out all night?
I've told you. There are often people to entertain at the theatre, and then I write for a while. Seems to soothe me down. And then my head is so full, I need to walk for a while.
Where do you walk?
About London.
I've heard it said that Irving and his wife have not lived together in some years.
Why is that?
How on earth should I know? I've never had the effrontery to ask.
You know what they're saying about Oscar Wilde?
What has that to do with anything?
That he goes about with boys. That he flaunts what he is.
A flamboyant man attracts rumours, but...
Don't humiliate me, Bram. That's all I ask.
I'm not that sort of man, as you must surely know.
All I know is that there is a hidden part of you. I used to think you would reveal it, that we might live there together. But now I know we won't.
What balls you talk, Bram.
It can be done, I assure you.
Electricity on the stage. You are living in a dream world.
Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
There is electricity at the Lyceum already. It is called Henry Irving.
Sweet Christ, the third person. Such self-effacing modesty.
Modesty is for virgins, dear. You should give it a try.
If we don't patent this effect, someone else will use it. Mark my words.
Let them. I need no gimmick.
I'm told Shaw is very interested.
How does it work?
It's a system of batteries and metal plates held in the hand. If you study the sketch I've made, you'll see what I mean.
Balls to your bloody sketches. Show me.
Pick up your sword.
If you're wasting my time, I'll run you through.
Touch mine.
Bloody Fenian Irish madman. You tried to kill me.
Do it again. Touch my sword.
Oh! You genius, Bramsey. I hate you.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Run it through the heart, Bram, if you can find one, that is.
Heavy on. See, it's only a play. Oh, Wilde is coming tonight. Unspeakable Irish bastard. Make sure he's invited to the beefsteak after the performance and suck his tits a bit, yes? Otherwise he'll put the course of the fairies on us, Pegara.
Still here, Mr. Harker? It's 4 a.m.
It's a ghost light, sir. Old tradition. You always leave one light burning when it's time to go home. So the ghosts can perform their own plays. Would you rather I put it out, sir?
No. Leave it, Mr. Harker. We all need the ghosts on our side. The governor about?
In his office, with Miss Terry. He said they weren't to be disturbed.
Oh, that wouldn't apply to me. Don't worry.
Absolutely beautiful in this garden.
Oh, I see you two. Let's. Excuse me for interrupting.
We were rehearsing a scene.
Bram?
It's pleasant to have you home for an evening.
For me also.
You're not missed at the theatre?
They can manage one night.
Is something wrong, Bram? You seem preoccupied of late.
Nothing at all.
I saw your book this afternoon in Hatchard's on Piccadilly. The man said they'd sold 4 copies. I hope you don't mind. I read some of your manuscript. The vampire story.
That story is dead. I burnt it the other night.
I rescued it. Here. Poor thing. A little scorched around the edges.
There was something I wanted to say to you, Florence. I sometimes feel... I've disappointed you, as a husband, as a friend, that I haven't been attentive because of work and so on. And I wanted to say, I am sorry and will try to do better.
What's brought this on?
You are the finest person I have ever had the honor to know. I have never been worthy of you. I'm still not now. The happiness it has given me
to have a family and a home. I owe all of it to you. And I am sorry.
You're loved the way you are, Bram. I think I understand.
Thank you, my treasure. I hope I'm not too late.
I've not seen you in a while.
Things have been busy.
I got you something. For your birthday. A notebook. I thought you could fill it with your beautiful words.
I'm not a true writer. It was only a delusion. A vanity.
One day you will write a story that will stop the world on its track. An immortal book, Bram. I know it. I feel it.
You are wrong. Now I must return to work.
If I gave you the impression we could be more than a friendship, I am sorry. I didn't mean to do it. I was so fond of you, I slipped.
It would be very wrong of me to give in to the feelings you describe. I'm a married man, Ellen, with responsibilities.
You think I don't know? If you weren't, dearest Bram, then you know what I would feel.
So is he, by the way. Married, I mean.
He doesn't live with his wife. He hasn't for years. Bram, I am married too, as I think you know. Unhappily, yes, but it doesn't excuse me. I don't have your nobility. I wish I had. The heart seems to want what it wants, alas.
Alas.
Do you hate me?
I never could.
The special friendship I have with you will outlast everything else. I knew it the moment we met. Oh, my Bram, be my friend. I couldn't bear to lose you. Wretch! You have ruined my makeup.
You are lovelier without it.
I have something to do. Can you come with me a while? It's good of you to see us, Doctor.
The honor is mine, Miss Terry. May I say that you are even more beautiful off stage in daylight?
You are flattering.
When I proposed to my fiancée, do you know what I said? If Ellen Terry won't have me, perhaps you would.
How perfectly charming.
There's a reason for your visit here to the asylum.
I am to play Ophelia soon. I thought it should be useful to see people who are mad.
They have plenty of them here, of every condition.
What is Ophelia's, would you say?
Interesting question. She may be a sufferer of what is called erotomania, often brought on by shock, though we're not quite sure how. It's the false belief on the patient's part that he or she is sexually desired. Take the patient in this cell, for example. He is what is termed a zoophagous maniac. It means he catches insects and swallows them.
Why?
Well, he believes they will give him eternal life. It's a common enough delusion. Some would say even religions borrow from it. Eating the body, drinking the blood, and so on.
The poor soul. Will he ever be released?
Alas, his condition has a character that makes it progressive. From eating flies to eating spiders, then birds, even rats. Often fancy he's licking his lips a bit when I pass by his cell, eh, John?
The master is coming. I am only his servant. The master will live forever.
Might I shake him by the hand?
I don't advise that.
My master is waiting. He has come from afar. I drink of their blood so he may live.
I wrote those words in my notebook. I do not know why. Poor Renfield, my muse in chains. Nor was he the only soul in a prison. Back at the theater, we all were.
But, Mr. Irving, there is a long-established way of doing the costumes for Macbeth.
Don't say that in a theatre, you bloody fool. It's the Scottish play. Don't you know it's bad luck?
These costumes have been most successful in the past.
The Lyceum is the future.
The tartans are all authentic.
You may go and toss your caper. This is not a bloody barn dance. Boys, I've had these specimens made up from my own design. I want Iceland and Vikings. This is a play about savagery, not a bloody box of shortbread come to life.
Have you even the faintest idea of what those costumes will cost?
You're being a clerk.
The clerk who runs this theatre.
You do not run this theatre. Drill it into your skull. It's the name of Henry Irving over that door every night.
My point is that I have the responsibility of balancing the books. If that is not done, there is no theatre at all. We cannot go on with productions of Napoleonic flamboyance. The bank is at our throats every day.
You bite the hand that feeds, Bram, and I warn you, I tire.
I am merely...
Then go, or stay, whichever you will. The lukewarm I shall spit from my mouth.
There is no need to speak to me in the manner you do to degrade me.
I think you'd rather like it.
You're insane and ridiculous. I pity you, Henry.
Then why are you still here? No, don't go. Bram, forgive me. Old love, lately I've been drained.
You must stop draining me.
Let's give it guns blazing. That's all I meant. Did I tell you my idea? Come here, come.
If you give the reporters a word or two, they promise to leave.
Ah, gentlemen of the press. You know one's every move and you hunt in a pack, I see, like rats.
Why are you going to Scotland, Mr. Irving?
In the coming season, we intend to give London a production of Macbeth. That is a play by a new author you won't have heard of. I am leading the company to the Highlands so that we may look at the landscape.
Why would you want to do that, sir?
Because Macbeth is not set in Piccadilly. Right, that pack of bastard reporters will be on the next train to Edinburgh. By then, we'll have arrived at where we're really going.
Where?
Whitby. In Yorkshire. Gloomy little dump, but we'll liven it up a little. Now, who'll give us a song?
Whitby. A town I didn't know. The menacing hulk of the ruined abbey. And St. Mary's Cathedral. Then a humble-looking library. And in I went. Always. Always the tiniest detail is the killer. My life was about to change. I browsed the shelves a while, a strange fire in my mind. Usually there is peacefulness in any place where old books are gathered. Not here, not at all. Mist seemed to curl at the library windows. As though led by some force, I reached towards a book, an account of the principalities of Wallachia and Moldavia by William Wilkinson. It fell open at a chapter called Vlad Dracula. All night I wrote. I wrote as one possessed, my perspiration dripping onto the pages. Images of Ellen as Lady Macbeth, images of him.
I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipples from his boneless gums and dashed his brains out.
Turn, hellhound, turn!
The castle of Dracula now stood out against the red sun, and every stone of its broken battlements was articulated against the light. As we looked, there came an explosion, a terrible convulsion of the earth, so that we seemed to rock to and fro and fell to our knees.
Seen the papers this morning?
Yes.
Oscar Wilde jailed.
The poor man and his family.
Have his picture taken down upstairs and a beefsteak.
But
we can't afford the association.
As you wish. Had you a moment to think about the matter I raised with you?
What was that?
My novel.
Christ, not another. What's this effort called?
The Undead.
The Unread, more like.
I've made a play of it so it can be performed and the copyright protected.
Oh, and where did you intend performing this wonderful masterpiece?
Well,
I cannot allow amateur works by part-timers to be performed at the Lyceum. We're not a bloody music hall. We have standards.
I'm obviously aware of that, since I have striven to help raise them.
What's it about?
A vampire.
How original.
I didn't claim it was original.
Vampires have been done to death.
It includes a strong male lead. Would you read it, perhaps?
You expect Sir Henry Irving to play a bogeyman in a potboiler?
As a favour.
Use the theatre if you must. Me, you don't use.
Surely, as a friend...
You are meddling with matters you don't understand. It's unwise of you, Bram. I have warned you. Now go.
We pinned a notice to the door of the theatre. Dracula or the Undead, 10:15 a.m., one performance only. I stood alone in the lobby to see if anyone would come. Then Harker came to fetch me.
Mr. Stoker, sir, it's time to begin.
Right.
Bram?
Florence, my love. I didn't expect you.
Best of luck.
Yes, I am Count Dracula, my curious friend. I never invite a visitor to cross my door. Enter of your will. Leave some of the happiness you bring. Ah, the children of the night. What beautiful music they make.
Stagehands and carpenters bemusedly watching the scene as the mop women swept the auditorium, ignoring it.
An egomaniac who is also a leech, sucking everyone dry. Fiction is a wonderful thing, Bram.
Master is coming! I shall catch him the flies! I do only my master's bidding!
Backstage, afterwards, I gave out copies of the book. An ugly, mustard yellow colour, and its title in lurid red.
Dearest friends, many thanks. You have indulged my vanity.
Bram!
I'm grateful.
Henry is in his office and wishes to see you.
Oh, I don't want to at the moment.
I'll come with you.
Shut the door.
Oh, what did you think?
Better not to discuss it.
Bram would obviously value your judgment.
Very well. If you insist. I thought it filth and irremediable rubbish. From first to last. This is what you've learned from your years at the Lyceum? Where Shakespeare was God, where beauty was our aim. You should be ashamed to have ever vomited such trash into the world. That, sir, is what I think. Tell the stagehands to get that set down. Now the pantomime is over. We've a play to perform tonight.
How dare you talk to any man like that, let alone your friend and fellow artist.
A little Irish clerk. That's all he ever was, Ellen. These pretensions to literature are the curse of his countrymen. Every one of them thinks he's a poet, as does every other savage in the world. My theatre is penniless, and he's writing his stupid stories. Oh, to Christ, I never laid eyes on him, if you want to know the truth. He's held me back. That's what.
You would be nothing without him. This place would be a ruin. He has given you nothing but service and love all these years, and this is how you reward
him. Some are born to serve. That's what they're for.
You arrogant pig. How dare you speak of Bram in that way? He is more of a man than you will ever be.
Then go to him. God knows you've not been selective before.
Take that, you filthy dog. You're a coward and a bully, and your cruelty is vicious.
Enjoy your revenge, Bram. I hope it cures your envy.
Bram, ignore him.
Sir, come quickly. Fire up the scenery store.
My life's work! You have killed my many children! I told you, the curse of the artist always works. Maybe now you'll believe me. You murderer!
What are you doing, Bram?
Packing my boxes.
Will you see him?
Nope.
Please, Bram. For me. He's had such a dreadful shock. I fear for his sanity. You know what he is like. Headstrong, stubborn, saying things he doesn't mean.
He may say them elsewhere.
How so?
I'm leaving the Lyceum. It's better for everyone. I intend to return to Dublin with my wife and our child.
That would sentence him to death. He wouldn't last a year.
I have failed. Failed. The theatre is almost bankrupt. I begged him not to insist on such flamboyance and expense. Every word I said, he ignored me. Always. Our plays are burnt. We are led by a madman. For this, I left my country, ruined my marriage, my happiness, missed the hours when I should have been with my child at home.
Your writing is your country and marriage. Is it no consolation?
No, it is no consolation.
Forgive him, Bram. I beg you. He needs you so badly.
Send one of the stagehands, if you would, Ellen. I'll be in the cellar, clearing my belongings.
So this is where you come.
I often wondered.
I thought you should know I've sold the lease. I'm closing the Lyceum at the end of the season.
You had no right.
Perhaps not. What's done is done.
And the actors? And Ellen?
They will find other work.
Do your arrogance and insensitivity know no bounds whatsoever?
I have cancer of the throat, Bram. The surgeons are certain my voice will go first. To a gasp, I'm told.
When did you learn of it?
A couple of weeks ago. They weren't sure at first. There's a Harley Street charlatan says he can help me a bit, but an actor without a voice is a year without winter. No point, I'm afraid. There it is. I could live down here with the rats and the spiders. You could find me a coffin to sleep in. So this is where you wrote it, hmm? The boy's own book of vampires.
Here. And at home.
It will be a tremendous success.
I don't think so.
I know so. I have seen. When you and I are long gone, your count will still be known. Like Judas.
No.
I liked how you named your hero after our scene painter. Mr. Harker, and the other little references. The scene in the asylum, and so on. Watching all of us, weren't you? We were grist to your mill. Who's the ripper now, old thing? Will you have a little drink with me, for old time's sake? Now, God, stand up for bastards. King Lear.
The show seems to be over.
Let's hide here a while.
There are guests to be entertained in the beefsteak room.
Can't you imagine the unctuous sympathy? The pity of the English, like a pack of rats giving you a bath before eating you.
It isn't fair on Ellen to have to entertain them alone.
Ever the gent. Lead on, Macduff. One thing I've learnt, Bram.
What was that?
All things considered, I've had time to think it over. There was no greater Shylock than I.
That's what you've learned.
Well, what else did you think?
And after his fall, it is strange. My memory begins to fade. Not all that long afterwards came his farewell tour. We played little towns in the north, in Scotland and in Wales, and finally that night in Bradford. I see him in memory, leaning heavily on his walking stick as we approached. In the theatre's windows were notices, "Farewell, Henry Irving."
Henry? Hmm? Shall we go in?
Ain't we early?
I thought you'd like to settle in. Take a look at the stage, as usual.
A little lost today. Don't know why.
Would you prefer to go directly to the hotel? And dine?
You know what I'd like? To take a walk on the moors every time, do you think?
Certainly, if you wish.
There's Howarth in the distance, where the Bronches live. They were Paddies like you.
Were they?
Father was born in Ireland. Buggered out of it, of course, all the best ones do. I love madmen and bitches. Always thought it would make a cracking play. Wuthering Heights, you know? What a thing. With me as old Heathcliff, monstrous bastard, and Ellen as Catherine. Her fire, you know? Never got around to it. Should have.
Perhaps it isn't too late.
Ah! Heathcliff on a walking stick with his cocoa before bed. Withered grey balls and a nightshirt. It'd be nice if Ellen were here with us. Like old times, eh?
Yes.
Oh, I've been given so much. I can't complain. But it wasn't given to me to have a happy marriage, nor was it given to Ellen. And I sometimes wonder, Bram, if it was given to you. You're so loyal to your wife that you never discuss it. Well, hardly at all, in 30 years of our friendship, but I do sometimes wonder. I hope you've had happiness. Every marriage looks strange from the outside, no?
I suppose. We married hurriedly. She's a very fine person. So kindly and patient. We just didn't get on. But she is the mother of my child. I owe her so much.
For me, the only family I ever had was at the Lyceum. You, Ellen, all our children when they'd come in. It's funny. It's those hours I remember now, not the performances or the applause. Of course, so much of everyday life is performance. Oh, I swallowed something the wrong way.
Well, rest yourself a moment.
I wasn't kind to you, Bram. About your writing, I mean, most contemptible weakness in any man, envy. I'm sorry your vampire book wasn't a success, old thing.
Doesn't matter anymore.
I'd love to have written something. Never had the courage. To be revealed like that. It frightened me.
You reveal yourself every night of your life on the stage.
Oh, kind of you, but no, no. That happens very rarely. It happens with Ellen. That's her gift. Extraordinary thing. She had something in her that the people always wanted to touch, no matter the role. An actor plays with masks, but an artist removes them.
It's getting dark. Let's be off. You can rest an hour before the show. Sit up in bed a moment.
Huh?
I've a surprise for you.
I don't like surprises.
You'll make an exception.
Who is that?
I was playing in Leeds last night.
Oh.
Our friend sent a message that you were here.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks. How marvellous to see you, old darling.
I can only stay a moment.
I'll just go see the manager.
Wish I'd known you were coming. Would have cleaned myself up. Well, how have you been, my dear?
Surviving, old pet. Doing one-night stands at my time of life. I'm at the Prince of Wales in Birmingham tomorrow in a dreadful old panto.
Bertie keeps me in bonnets and gin.
Let me get out of bed and we'll take a cup of tea.
No, no, no. Stay there.
Well, hop in if you like.
Incorrigible devil. I'm rather tempted. You look so well.
Oh, my sweetest old minx. You tell such pretty lies.
What's this nonsense I hear about you not looking after yourself properly?
No. I find it hard to sleep now. That's the curse of it all. What I'd give to close my eyes and know that peacefulness again. It's strange what we long for in the end.
So, your farewell tour. I don't believe it for a moment. Another ruse for rustling up interest, you fraud. They'll never allow you to retire. But even if you did, what a wonderful career you've had, haven't you, darling?
Yes, a wonderful life of work.
What have you got out of it, do you think? You and I are getting on, as they say. Do you ever think sometimes, as I do, what have you got out of life?
A good cigar, a glass of wine, and some merciful friends. And a tiny little slice of immortality, of course.
How so?
Oh, my dear, you forget. You are talking to the undead.
What are you playing tonight?
Thomas A. Becket. They wanted me to do the bells, but then I rather changed my mind. Stubborn old queen. I like to make them dance.
Well, then, I'd better go.
Yes, you mustn't miss your train.
There was always a bloody train to catch. Wasn't there, my love? I believe I've spent more time on trains down the years than I ever did on the stage.
Yes. I missed one or two of them.
This one. You caught.
Get thee to a nunnery.
Good night.
As a doctor, I must insist that you cannot continue, sir. The performance simply must be cancelled.
I am Henry Irving, my friend, the first actor ever knighted. I don't funk a performance. Be gone.
Doctor, I know him as well as it is given any man to know another. There is no point in talking sense. Let him go on.
You there, boy. Get me a bottle of ale. This is the North. The ale makes me sweat. They like to see you sweat for them in the North. Know your lines, boys. Good. Beginner's positions. Anyone upstages me, I'll kick him up the arse. Drinks on me later. Break a leg. Cut along. Do something for me, Bram.
Of course.
Don't watch.
Why not?
I want you to remember me at my best. It's what I'd prefer. See what curtain down. Go on.
So I walked the streets of Bradford through the pouring rain, a thousand broken images tumbling in my mind. A glittering reception at the Lyceum, the night of the coronation, full of princes and royalty from all over the empire, rajas, tribal chiefs, potentates and their retinues, all in fabulous costume. Irving in the golden flow of his fame, taking his bow to the adoring throng. After an hour, I returned to the little playhouse in Bradford in time for his final scene.
My counsel is already taken, John. I am prepared to die.
We are sinners all. The best of all, not prepared to die.
God is my judge. Into thy hands, O Lord. Into thy hands.
As the curtain slowly fell, he collapsed on the stage, but recovered sufficiently to step out and take a last call. Drenched in sweat, his makeup running, he stared at the crowd. I stepped out from the wings to help him to the dressing room, where he gazed into the mirror, a worn-out shell.
Did you get the money?
Yes.
How did we do?
£4, give or take. Weather may have put people off.
£4? Yorkshire bastards barely pay for the hotel.
It will be better tomorrow night. Leeds is a good show town.
To think I was once handsome. Look at me, Bramsey. Face like a kicked over cake.
You've been feeling the taking up of your work again. After your illness. Now you're back in your stride, it'll be easier.
Perhaps. How long are we together?
27 years.
Sweet Christ. Still, it's good to have worked with an Irishman all that time. My first performance was in Dublin and they hissed me. Like this. Like your bloody old count. I never forgot it. But you have made it up to me, Bramsey, for your countryman's treachery. Perhaps I have done the same to you for mine. Might you do me a service, Bramsey?
Anything.
I've not seen my son in so long. He'd be 19 now. Could you telegram and ask him to jaunt up for a day or two?
Of course I will.
Muffle up your throat, old chap. It's a bitterly cold night. Call this an hotel, more like an abattoir with chintz. Let me sit a moment, Bramsey. I'm a little breathless on the sudden.
In that alcove, the object.
Oh, that's better. That's better. Now, I think a glass of iced champagne.
You know what the doctor said.
But Bradford is known for its champagne, dear boy. Tiny little sip to scorn the devil. Bradley.
I'll have a glass brought up to your rooms when you retire.
Ah, the glib and oily art to speak and purpose not.
Henry.
Dearest God, you're such a mumsy. You drive a stake through my heart.
Someone should.
A mouthful of fizz won't kill Henry Irving. I'll drink any docker in the kingdom under the table and then recite all of Hamlet.
Ah. Come on, then, you infernal nuisance. Into the lounge, over there.
Go and fetch it for me, Bramsey. I like to sit and watch the people. It's research, don't you know? People of food.
Just a single half glass, mind. We've an early train in the morning. I'm going to the bar. Don't move from here. I sent the telegram, by the way. Henry. Henry? It's Bram. Henry? Fetch a doctor! Someone help!
His coffin was the most majestic I ever saw. Massive, draped magnificently in bay leaves and lilies. It was carried into the packed cathedral to the sound of a soprano and choir. Ellen was beside me in the congregation. I remember her taking my hand as the coffin was carried to its place at the foot of Shakespeare's statue.
Upstaging to the last.
It was as seeing a montage of the old bastard on stage, raging at the crowd during our first night of Hamlet, fencing with Macduff, sparks flying through the air, rising from the trapdoor, sneering like the devil.
That night, all those years ago, in Dublin, when you visited his room.
Yes?
What happened, my love, to make you give up so much for him?
He recited me a poem. It reduced me to tears. And everything changed. Bloody bastard. You're not wearing your veil today.
They don't recognize me anymore.
I do.
Come along, old thing.
the sun is going down.
He was the greatest actor who ever lived. And he'll never be forgotten. I wrote a book that disappeared, which nobody will ever remember. Life is strange, but beautiful too. At moments, very beautiful. Stoker.
In Vampire Man, Bram Stoker was played by Dara Kelly, Anton Lesser was Henry Irving, Florence was played by Eva Berthesel, Patrick Fitzsimons was Harker, and Ellen Terry was played by Amanda Redman. The other parts were played by Dan Gordon, Peter Balance, and members of the cast. Vampire Man was written by Joseph O'Connor. The producers were Gemma McMullen and Jenny Thompson. It was directed in Belfast by Stephen Wright. And you can find more editions of Drama on 3 on the BBC Radio 3 website. Next week, at the same time, Mary Rose, J.M. Barrie's haunting play about a sinister Scottish island and a girl who never grows up. Next Sunday night at 9 o'clock.
70th season on BBC Radio 3.
Turn up the wireless, Mrs. Moss.
The historian David Hendy presents 70 years of highlights from the third programme.
One of the sacred rules of conducting is that the conductor should not beat out empty bars.
I was the spear in Balin's hand that made waste King Pelham's land.
Do you know anything about these things?
Yes. No, but I'm frankly interested.
The Power of Three. Weekdays at 10:30 and 5:30, in Weekend Breakfast at 5 to 9, and also on the BBC Radio 3 website.
It's a little after 10:30 now, and time for this week's edition of Early Music Late with Ellen Manahan-Thomas.
Hello and welcome to Early Music Late, our weekly dip into Baroque music making across Europe. Today we're being transported to Versailles in the 17th century by Le Poème Harmonique and their conductor Vincent Dumetre in their concert given in Brussels in July this year. Imagine, if you will, a court of nobles being entertained by a ballet as we get danced around the world by characters and scenes from Europe all the way to the Far East. This is the scene Le Poème Harmonique wants to set for us, and first up to invite us to the pageant is a chorus from Jean-Baptiste Lully's Ballet de Flore. After that, we start our journey in Spain with Lully's Entrée des Espagnols from Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme.